Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, Pastor David here. To my left is Jeremiah Tasco. To my far left,
is today.
Pastor Bob Wilk.
He's far, far away.
Now, today we have...
It'll land before time.
Yeah.
So, and now we're back.
Let us steadfastly conduct this podcast on steadfastness.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to be talking about is this idea of God's steadfast love and enduring love, faithful love, whatever you want to call it. In Hebrew, it would be hesed, or if you really want to put some umph into it, it would be chesed, right? I only heard other people pronounce that. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I like the definitions.
So, very good word. When I say it, I spit, so I don't do it. Yeah.
I spit most things I say, so sorry to you guys. Well, good. Well, let's just jump right into this. So I just wanted to ask you, you guys are both prophets, okay? You hear the voice of God. What is God saying right now to the body of Christ about this idea of steadfastness? What would you say? Pastor Bob, why don't you just open this up?
I was deferring to, you know, JT on that one.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's senior before junior here.
Whoever wants to go prophets.
I must decrease. Okay.
How many more times can we go back and forth?
Back and forth.
Pass the prophetic buck.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what are we asking here?
What is God saying to the body of Christ about steadfastness?
Simply to be steadfast, to understand that he's steadfast and to be steadfast in our own life. I don't know how to make it any simpler than that.
Right.
We can complicate it. Let's complicate it a little.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. We'll try. We're good at that.
We'll try.
Yeah. We're good at complicating.
Yeah, what have you been hearing, Jeremiah?
Well, when I hear the word steadfast, we had a prophetic word a couple weeks ago in service. It was the Lord speaking to his people saying, don't forget about my steadfast love. And then also calling to us to be steadfast to him. That steadfastness, that place of like a firm security, that place of adhering, even at times waiting on the Lord, staying close to him. That's all the words that I was hearing when he was speaking those to me. And so the word I was hearing when Pastor Bob was speaking is the word remain, right? It's to stay in a place, to not quickly uproot, upplant, stay moored to your foundations.
Also, I believe when the Lord speaks about steadfastness, he's speaking firstly of his faithfulness, because that's how we know God. He's a faithful God. And he's speaking to us about being faithful. And I always, my take on faith is not blue flames coming out of your fingers and miracles happening. I think the biggest part of faith is actually faithfulness, because that's who God is. Right. He remains. And some of the things you were saying. And so I think when we talk about steadfastness, we're talking about our faithfulness to him. And I understand that that's not always perfect, but it's something that he's looking toward us for, but also demonstrating to us that that's who he is. So we may go up and down and in and out at times, but he remains faithful.
What would that look like to you guys for a Christian to be returning God's steadfast love? What would his life or her life look like? Would you guys be able to give a little snapshot? Maybe what's it look like in your life? Or what would it not look like?
Well, I would say from my point of view, it would be that even when you're in a time of fear or unbelief even, that you still remain with him. You don't fully turn from him.
Yeah.
You just stay with him, even though you don't understand. And that's a big thing, is just being... stay with God, even though you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because you recognize that, you know, at whatever degree you can at that moment, that he remains.
Yeah.
He remains faithful. And so I think, that's how I look at it. I don't know.
I agree. I got two pictures, Old Testament picture of the Israelites following the pillar of cloud and following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire during the nights. But they had to follow the Lord and then set up camp. And so that camp is like that setting down, that remaining in that place, irregardless of what's going on. That's very difficult, right? Like, no joke, that can be very difficult, very challenging. Obviously, there's trials and testings, and in this world we will have troubles, and so we will be faced with things that will want us to, detach ourselves and go away from the place that God may have you or may be calling you into. And then in the New Testament, of course, there's Jesus. Jesus is saying, hey, you need to be part of me. You need to be part of my flesh. You need to drink as I drink. Like, you need to be attached to me. And for some, that was that place of remaining with him and walking with him was too much. And so we understand there's times in my life where I've definitely been challenged and could and had the option and may have been reaching for the door to abort mission and turn away from the Lord and pull up my tent and look for greener pastures. But that's where the steadfast love of the Lord is. His faithfulness is, even when we are not faithful, he remains faithful. And so as a believer, it kind of looks like, you know, we look at stubbornness a lot of times and we go, ooh, bad stubbornness, not good. But then I'll call it a righteous stubbornness where you're like, I'm not going away from you, God. I'm going to stay attached to you no matter what. I don't understand how this is all going or works out or how I don't understand any of it. I don't even maybe agree with a lot of it, but like the disciples said, Lord, where else do we have to go? You have the words of life. So I don't understand all of what you're talking about with, you know, eating your flesh and drinking your blood, but I'm going to stay more to you and attached.
I think I call that stick-to-itness.
Yeah.
Right? Even when you're, you know, when everything doesn't
the
seem...
Sticky Christian.
The sticky Christian. You're just going to stay connected to him. I love that example you gave, of the account in the wilderness, because it's interesting because he provided everything and continually, you know, and constantly, if you will, and yet they still doubted at times, or wanted more, like what he was providing wasn't enough.
They wanted different.
You know, we want steak tonight, if that'd be okay. And, probably someone wanted pork, but that's a whole different story. But they,
Can you pre-cook the mammon for us? Right. So we don't have to make it. Right. Like.
Exactly. So, you know, manicotti.
Frosted flakes.
You know. But there is a, you know, they had he was faithful and he was in their life faithful, steadfast, right? Providing in very natural ways, you know, like you were saying, the cover by night, you know, by day from the heat and the heat by night from the cold. I mean, he was providing and food all the time. Mm-hmm. And yet even in the midst of that, they were like, you know, I want something else. So I think it talks to us a lot about what steadfastness starts to look like in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like even it's like we forget, we start to not recognize that constant provision or his constant presence. Mm. Because that's the other thing is in that wilderness experience, the angel of the Lord was with them continually. He led them. Like, I know it's just a little blurb in the Bible, but it's like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and they all knew. Like, somehow the angel of the Lord was there, you know? Yeah. And so, but even with that, they started to question and, you know, and then wanting more. Mm-hmm. And
there was two temptations. One was to turn back. They said, let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Right. And then there was another temptation where Balaam and Balak brought the Moabite influence to draw them to the side, right? And so that's what, you know, we can follow God. That's the glory cloud, the fire in the cloud and the angel of the Lord. It's his presence. Mm-hmm. We can follow him, but that's a cloud of judgment and purification and holiness as well as love.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to go back to what was familiar or to go aside to novelty. You know, we don't, we're sick of this loathsome manna. It's coming out of our nose, right? And so these are things that interfere with steadfastness, is that we're tempted by, sitting down or going back, and we're also tempted by going off to the side to new experiences and discovery and whatever else, where God's like, hey, can you stick with me? And I like what you said, that it's steadfastness is the righteous side of stubbornness, because steadfastness is like a stubbornness that holds on, and the bad stubbornness is like, get away from me. You can't tell me what to do. Don't get close to me. I'm never going to let you touch me. You know, that's the stubbornness, where the actual steadfastness is, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, because you invited me in on this. You gave me first fruits. I have experience. I have a promise. I know there's a rest that lies ahead. So I'm not going to just quit before I get there. I'm not going to swerve off. I'm not going to turn around. This road goes somewhere. But the temptation is, I'm just thinking of another scripture, that the road off to the side is a lot smoother and a lot easier, or the road back is a lot clearer than the hard way that leads to life. And in Greek, that's the wine press. The hard, narrow way is this wine press that actually produces a character in you.
Yeah.
The Bible says that steadfastness produces maturity of character. It releases perfection into your entire being, to quote the Passion of James 1, the Passion translation. Nice. So, those are just a few thoughts of what it could look like. I think it could look real practical, of just, staying in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Staying in fellowship. Praying. Getting somebody to pray with you if you're not praying consistently.
Right.
Confessing your sin. Sometimes that's the only spiritual thing you can do in the day. It's a hard day, but you can do one spiritual thing. You can say, God, I really screwed it up today. Please forgive me. So you could, even if you're consistent in confessing your sins, that's something. This isn't an unattainable bar. It's just hold on to God.
I like that, David. I'll say the majority of our Christian walk is really maturing in simple disciplines. They're walking with the Lord is not complicated. He is very complex. He is mysterious. He's amazing. There's many things to seek out and grow in our knowledge of Him and the fear of the Lord. But the walk with the Lord is like you said, it's about praying. It's about being in the Word. Again, there's times where we like, I'm praying, but I'm not really sure. Well, just remain in that place. That's be steadfast to that practice in reading of the Word. The Word of God is beneficial, right? Like, we don't just live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we have this whole book of God's words to us, which benefit us in ways that we don't obviously understand on the surface, but they do. And so by faith, I'm going to read, and Lord, I trust that you're feeding me, right? It's that simple. And He will open His Word, and He will share that with you. The other thing I would say is, you need to be faithful to your home church, the people that you have, I'm going to say a couple ways, entrusted your life with and have given your life, you give your life to, because you need to be kept by brothers and sisters. They need to be able to watch over you and pour into you, but you also need to be able to give and give unto them and pour out on them and express and encourage them. And so that is a place that God has also called us to. He puts the solitary in family. And as the family of God, we need to continually show up in the family. And so we need to remain in that place. I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, because they're hurt, or they're this, or they're that, or my coffee isn't hot enough, the music's too loud. You know, there's so many different things nowadays that I think come into conflict with steadfastness.
Well, I believe also that steadfastness is it's solid, it's a firm place, right? But I believe steadfastness speaks when you're in a solid place is not an active place. It's not pulling back,
right?
It's actually leaning in. You can be steadfast and leaning in and solid. When you start to pull back, draw back to perdition, you know, the things that don't please God, you know, a lot. And so I believe in God, you are either leaning in or leaning out. You're not, there's no in between, actually. The, you know, where people like, oh, I'm in this place of just treading water. And you can feel that, right?
Right.
But in reality, when you're there, you're actually not going.
Well, it's good. It's good that you're keeping your head above water.
Yes.
But you're drifting way
away from where you're going to drift. Right. Exactly that.
Good thing God anchored us.
Right. So steadfastness actually is an anchor that's pulling you toward a place.
Right.
Not drifting back or away.
Yeah.
And so it's there's a component of steadfastness that is active. It's not, it shouldn't be looked at or perceived to be inactivity.
Right.
Like you said, when you were talking about, you know, being part of a church and or a body of believers, and it can't be like I'm just, you know, I'm here just evaluating everything and you know, seeing what works for me.
Sure.
It's like either you're in or you're out. You and that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a hard, I just gave him a hard saying. There's people here listening today that'd be like, oh, Pastor Bob, you did that thing to me.
You did it again.
But you're either in or out. There is no.
Well, steadfast love is it's a covenant expression. So God's the God of steadfast love. It means his covenant faithfulness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, that's just to get into my next question. Cause that goes with it. Cause we're trying to be like God. We need to be in covenant and give our lives to people steadfastly, not just, well, I did that once. So how is God's love steadfast? I like this question, but just say, what you know about God, his steadfast love.
It's always ready to meet you. Mm-hmm. See, that's the deal. What I was just saying about, you know, you're either in or out.
Right.
Imagine God not having steadfast love. Like you come to him,
ouch,
you're broken, you're a sinner, or you're sinning, or you're hurting, or whatever state you come in to him. And he's like, well, let me think about it. You know, I'm not.
Did you meet the conditions?
It. Yeah. Did you miss it? I'm not really feeling you today. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's not him. He's ever present.
Right.
Ever ready to receive us.
Yes.
Ever ready to bring his, because he is love, bring his love.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's components of that we have to see the reality of how, of the God we actually serve, how faithful. And he so leans into this, by the way. Last night we were at a prayer meeting, all of us, and Pastor David brought some scriptures up, and I think he had several different ones, one out of 1 John. And, you know, it, in there it talks about if you don't love, you don't know God.
Right.
you know, you're not in God.
Right.
If you don't have God, I guess that's, you know, depending on what translation you can read, is like, if you're not in love, you're not in God, which is a little hard. Like, so he's like, hey, I'm always leaning toward you. Mm-hmm. I want you,
that's good.
You know, coming this way. I don't, you know, he's okay with you going through the trial of your faith. He's okay with you having issues in your life. Mm. And he gets it when we sin, and he understands when we're like, I don't know. But he still wants us to be toward him because he's always toward us.
That's so good. I'd like to echo that really quick. Mm-hmm. I think somebody needs to hear that said again, that God's love is always leaning towards you.
Yeah.
Always. In Peter, it says that the Lord is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So he is always waiting. You know, we get the picture of that in the prodigal son story, the parable where the father is looking afar off. How often was he probably doing that, looking to just see, is my son coming? Mm-hmm. Okay. He's always turned towards the return of his children. So beautiful. That speaks volumes of the steadfast love of the Lord. And I also wanted to echo something else that Pastor Bob said, was that he is love. So if he is love and he is always faithful, then that's his steadfast love. He's always open arms, ready to receive you back to himself. Now, you said a word, conditions. There are times where when we bring ourselves to the Lord is going to say, I need you to do this. There are things that he does require of us, but his receiving of us, he's always turned towards us. And in receiving, it's most of the time that we think he's not turned towards us because we've turned away. So we're not standing before him face to face any longer. Mm-hmm. We turned our back to him.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, God isn't facing me. Well, no, wait a minute. You turned your back to him. He's still in the same place that he's been because he is God.
Yeah.
So we need to turn to him, and guess what? Then we'll be back in that place.
You know,
the conditions are for us.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Well, JT, you, I don't know if you did it intentionally, but inadvertently painted a beautiful picture. The more I think about it, in terms of the, you know, the prodigal coming back, and the father. You know, you said, what? How many times did he look out there? And I want to say, and I'm going to say this by the Spirit of God to someone listening, that he's always looking out there for you. Like he's always, I can just see this father just looking out like down the road, like, is he coming? And that's why when he was afar off, he spotted him. And I'm going to guess every time he went by, that's, you know, a spot where he could look down the road, he looked in expectation that his son was coming back. And that's our Father in heaven. Like, it's so amazing. Like I said, it's just the idea of that picture, just like, well, I had never really thought about it like that. He's always looking.
He does not want to cast off. Yeah. That's not what he wants. Yes. He doesn't willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. Right. He will not cast off forever, it says in Lamentations 3. Yes. He's not only looking, he's seeking. So he was leaving the 99 and seeking the one. He's sweeping the whole house. One of my favorite scriptures I've been studying is where Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I'll drag all men to myself. It's the word for dragging in the fishing net. He's like, like you're just, you're hauling it in. Uh-huh. Right? And so he's drawing every person.
Right.
We make this like a mystical, almost nice word, like the Father will draw you. Mm-hmm. But he's like grabbing his, he's done this to me. Like, he's like, you're done with that. Come on, like get back here. Okay. We're keeping covenant. It's really hard to get away from him. Mm. It's like from the east is to the west. And it's if you make your bed in Sheol, he's there. It's, it's hard to run from this God.
Mm.
Right. Jonah couldn't run to the depths of the sea.
Right.
Brought him out and he put him back. Right. And so this is really what the Bible teaches and what Jesus is communicating when he says God is Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's the love we have for our kids in a very minuscule sense. Mm. That's God's steadfast love for those that fear him, okay, for everybody that is called by his name.
Mm.
And Paul says, I bow my knee before the Father after whom every family is named.
Right.
So he's this is the essence of God. It's not just something that he does. His steadfast love is his essence.
It's who he is.
It's not like, well, he has, you know, wisdom or he has wrath or something. Yeah. It's like, well, he is love.
Yes.
He is light. He is life. You know, these are things that that are, he is spirit. These are things that are essence, you know, spirit.
God is so different, right? Mm-hmm. We get these pictures here on earth of, you know, like you're saying, Father and all that. But when God presents himself, it's not he does those things.
Right.
He is
that.
He on every level, he is a jealous God. Not that he feels jealousy.
That's love. That's love.
He is love, right?
Right.
He is light. Yeah. He is, you know, everything. I mean, he is the resurrection.
That's right.
He does resurrections.
Right.
Yeah, he does that too. But
this
or
is,
he
think,
was resurrected. He is.
I think you're speaking to Dad. One of the I sense this currently. If you want to talk about things that we're sensing right now in terms of steadfastness, I think there's a revelation breaking open to people of the nature of God, because we are partakers of his divine nature. So it's not just God healing or God, you know, when I pray and the power of prayer will do something. It's like, no, he didn't say the power of prayer anywhere in the scriptures. He says the prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. So what faith in what? In the one who is powerful, in the one who is healing, in the one who is love, in the one who is steadfast. And so it's always bringing us back to an encounter with his character. And if we understand who he is, then we understand that from who he is, then he does.
He's good.
Same as his
body.
Great,
isn't it?
We are bone. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh in Christ now. And so in that same way, of course, by the Spirit leading, we become partakers of that divine nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a key. This is a simple thing. Like, this is like, what are we supposed to be as Christians? We're supposed to be imitators of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what is God? God is love.
Yeah.
We're supposed to become people of love like like Christ, his type of love, not the world's type of love, God's love. In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to take away our sin through propitiation. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's in the scripture. And so, you know, this is really what we're being called to do is to be love as he is love.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about how that could be painful and hard and everything. But like, just look at, I mean, look at First Corinthians. Stuff. I mean, look at First Corinthians 13. You could fill in where it says love is patient and kind and not irritable or resentful and all that whole list. You can put the name of the Father in there, or you could put the name of Jesus in there, and it'll be true. Love never fails. The Father never fails. Like he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. He doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. He rejoices in the truth. That's part of his love. But then when you put your name in there, you go, oh, okay. help me, God.
Jeremiah, not so much do that.
With the whole resentment. Yeah. Does that irritability.
But he wants irritability you to, but he wants you to be that.
Yes.
And that's the deal. That's what he what you were saying earlier. He wants that of his children. Mm-hmm. He wants that of his sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And I believe I believe we have everything that pertains to life. Mm-hmm. I believe we actually have that, whether we appropriate it, put it into place.
That's the deal.
And it's interesting because we're talking about steadfast love. It's interesting in that is that you're getting two, I guess, things about God at the same time. Two of his character.
Yes, yes.
I don't want to call them elements because he is.
Like attributes.
Right, attributes. It's just it's everything about him all at once. And you're getting, and he's, when you put that steadfast love, you're getting boom, boom. Like, if you didn't get love, if you didn't understand love completely, try to understand steadfastness. Like, I'm always there.
Man, that's good.
Or if you don't understand steadfastness, understand that my love is always there.
Yeah, yeah, I want to just, the Lord showed me a couple weeks ago, he's like, you know, you taught something wrong. Because I used to say, patience is the only element of God, the only attribute of God that's finite, you know, like, cause he'll run out and he'll do a judgment and this and that. but if you really read it, it says the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever.
Right.
Yep.
So that, I mean,
that's a lot of patience.
Figure that out. There's still going to be dealing with sin. There's still going to be that, but like, it doesn't change his perfect patience. Paul said that he's an example of God's perfect patience.
So good.
You know, and I'm like, that challenges my theology a lot.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, but that's the Bible. That's who our Father is. Mm. He does not deal with us according to our iniquities.
Wow. Yeah. This is so, I really love this. What you said, David, sparked something for me. This is so important. I want to reiterate it again. I know repetition teaches, and it's teaching me right now to just say it out loud again to really apprehend it. He is steadfast. He is loving. But oftentimes, I'll use myself, will view God in like, oh, I did this, so he's not going to love me now. Yeah. Or I did that, and so he's going to let me go. And that's where in our own hearts, we've got to sort that out, because that really is, like you were saying, Dad, I think we don't really, we haven't apprehended the word. We haven't apprehended who he is. And so we need to dig a little more and learn to trust his nature. But secondly, there's an enemy after us who is constantly lying about the love of God. Like, you've gone too far. Oh, you did that thing again. He's not going to love you anymore. He's going to reject you. Matter of fact, he's going to judge you. And matter of fact, here's a bunch of scriptures that talk about his judgment. Yeah. And so the enemy is very crafty in the way that he twists God's word, like he did in the wilderness. He twists the word of God to bring almost like a really strong, not just accusation, but a full-blown case against you for your transgression. And the Lord is standing over there saying, just turn. That's all it takes.
He's like, yeah, you're right. According to the law, that's the case. Too bad I died. You know, you died to the law. I raised you from the dead.
Yeah.
That's the past. Mm-hmm. I'm here. Yeah. I've laid down.
He brings the now thing, right?
Right.
It's like, so what, who's going to separate you from my life?
Oh,
that's right.
Who's going to do that? Like, you know, so, but that's locked into his steadfastness.
That's
not locked into who we, what we do. And it is our side will, we may feel different, experience different.
Mm-hmm. We will.
But we definitely will. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't change him.
Yes.
And so he's not changing. Mm-hmm. He's forever that way.
Right.
And it's hard for us to, because we want to put God in the man box.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Well, we're forever changing.
He's not like us. He's not a man us. He don't do what we do. He doesn't, God's not a man that you should lie. He's like, in other words, I'll love you forever. Well, I didn't really mean that.
Right.
Yeah, you gained a few too many pounds.
You gained, exactly. Yeah.
But the, no, I believe this. The if there's a, you know, as people, you know, they marinate on this, like meditate on this, the steadfast love of the Lord, like it endures forever. And it's not a, that's not a, you know, get out of jail free card. That's not a, you know, an overuse where we can just say, well, God will forgive me because of steadfast love. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
No. We're talking about the earnest, like true, sincere turning of your heart back to the Father. He will always, always, always be there because that's who he is.
Yeah. And because he loves you,
yes,
he will deal with your sin.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He will discipline you. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't even bother to judge you.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even bother to, it wouldn't mean anything to him what you did.
Well, like we said earlier, you would, he would have to turn and not be steadfast or faithful to the other qualities of his character,
right?
Principles of his character, like justice, you know, and there are consequences,
of course,
like reap because you sow. Put him in place.
That's right.
And like, so he would be lying about the consequences if he didn't, if the consequences were, yeah, that's okay. It's okay. And so, there's components about God that we, like I said, if we understand he's true like that, steadfast, it changes. Yeah. It changes the way we approach him all the time.
It changes it.
You know, it's like, and it gives us, it points us to who we are becoming and need to become.
Yeah.
That's good.
Let me ask you this. So God's steadfast love, nothing can change his love. Is that a painful thing for God? Would that be painful for us to love someone with a steadfast love? What kind of pains could we encounter? Because I think it's important to count the cost. You know, we're going, God's steadfast love to me, I need to show steadfast love to those in my orbit, you know, those that I'm called to. What's that going to mean? Should I be surprised when it's difficult to love somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to just give the simple answer. Yes.
I think the simple, safe answer.
The simple thing is going to be, yes, it's going to be painful. Because would it be love?
You mean God's love doesn't mean he's like, oh, I just, oh man, these people are so incredible. They're so, they're so precious all the time. Oh.
I don't know if you were here, but years ago, I preached a message called Love Hurts.
That's a good song, too.
But if there was nothing to lose and nothing to hurt, then would it really be love? Because he's pouring out his love, not with the expectation everybody's going to return and everybody's going to, you know, everything's going to be perfect, but that didn't stop him from pouring that out. Right. And that's why, you know, just like we read, you know, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. His character is not dependent on either expectation or how people respond.
Right.
Right. And so, when we start to manifest his character, and that's not so easy, okay? We are going to feel that.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean it shouldn't stop us.
Right.
But we're going to, he didn't make robots, so we're going to feel it. Like, when you pour out the love of God to somebody and they just tell you, go pound sand, I'm going to guarantee that you're going to be like, oh.
You'll feel a little something.
You'll feel something. Yeah, just a little. But also what you might be feeling is the heart of God.
Yeah.
Like, I believe I don't know that you can actually get God without in your soul feeling that, right? Just, so that's what that rejection feels like. Oh, that's what that pulling back feels like. It's like, and I think we learn from that, by the way, as much as we're, you know, approaching somebody that may be in need in that area, we're like, so that's what God feels like when I'm like that?
Yeah, he's kind to the ungrateful and the evil, and we need to be kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And you think about the Bible, God got hurt quite a bit. You know, I mean, there's some people, some theologians out there that say God's impassable. We can't hurt God. It's like, well, that's completely unbiblical. You know, because he's like, my wound is incurable. You know, I'm weeping rivers of tears over Moab. You know, he's really grieved because of his love, and he's really angry because of his love. He's offended at those that are that are oppressing the mm-hmm. weak. You know, he's offended at somebody, you know, just turning their back. His wife left him countless times, Israel, right? There's a couple times it says he went through a divorce, a separation. Mm-hmm. And he still said, there's going to come a day I'm going to renew my faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently so it's like, all three of the God in the Godhead, all mm-hmm. three experienced that, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the Holy Spirit is grieved. Jesus, you know, he's
man of sorrows.
I mean, everything about, we'd be foolish to go, oh no, God's beyond all that.
No way. So there's a guy, Danny Silk. He's like a pastor. He's mm-hmm. written some good books on parenting. And what he said was like, you can do whatever you want to me, but you can't make me turn my love off. And I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what God, he has this resolve, this steadfastness in him where he's going to experience jealousy and wrath and anger. And, you know, he's going to experience grief and, you know, sorrow and loss. And he's not going to faint mm-hmm. in his steadfast love.
Right.
He's not going to let his covenant collapse to the ground mm-hmm. because that's, you know, the core of who he is just that he's love. He will not turn that off.
Yeah.
That's what
he's bound by his word, who he is. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, and I think that's where we're locked into his faithfulness to forgive.
Yes.
Because it's not like he becomes this forgetful God. No. Right, but he refuses because he's bound by his own word to when we've repented to bring back,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, to our account again something that he's forgiven us of right. intentionally, and he remains steadfast there,
yes.
even when we don't,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like he's going to remain there, mm-hmm. and that is like. That's such a great God. I don't know about anybody else.
He's amazing.
What other God is getting nailed to a cross and
yeah.
praying for forgiveness? You know, that's
right. Well, when you were talking about the pain, I mean, Isaiah 53, I've been reading that lately. I've been in that for a couple of weeks and just, I can't get through it without tears. Cause I start feeling the pain. So obviously he felt the pain. You know, it's interesting in scripture too, is the Father's, it pleased the Father mm-hmm. for that pain to come upon Jesus. But because that was the expression of God's love to us, the only way for us to be restored was to put that on his only begotten Son. Mm-hmm. And so the joy was set before Christ, but it was a intention, a willful sending of the Father, and it also pleased mm-hmm. him to pour out his wrath mm-hmm. on his only Son. I mean, it's just, when you start to try to think through that, you can't help but go, God, he loves me. He punished somebody else for me, right? He put all of my profanity and my dirty, you know, rotten, vile things, he put them on another man. So that I don't have to have those on me. And then when I turn to him, that man is there advocating on my behalf, Jesus Christ. And he's saying, Father, the blood. And the Father goes, I'm steadfast in love. And I'm you've met the condition because you're coming through my Son.
That's the only condition. It's the ransom that was paid for all
right.
is through Christ. And you know, I think it says in Ephesians that you would know the breadth and the depth mm-hmm. and the width. Mm-hmm. The depth of it is what you're saying. Not only that God laid on him the iniquity of us all, right. but that he was God.
Right.
And he laid on himself the penalty, the curse of the law, separation. And then he actually had to go into the depths of the grave, mm-hmm. into the realm of the Lord of death. Mm-hmm. He had to go to the darkest possible depths to leave our sin there mm-hmm. and then to raise us up with him, mm-hmm. you know, free of that. So it's like, this is a God who would go through death. This is a God, you know, that death would not separate us mm-hmm. from his love.
That's right.
And so he has fulfilled all those conditions. It's like, what are we going to do?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be reconciled to him? Is that steadfast love going to matter to us where we return it? Or will we keep hardening our hearts? Mm. Are we going to believe the love that God has for us?
Right.
Or are we going to, I don't know, why didn't he do more of that? It's like, eventually you should see his love displayed and, you know, it should make an impact on
well,
you.
I would I also know. Say, and I want to speak to, you know, people listening to this, if you try to totally rationalize it in your brain, it's not going to make a whole heck of a lot of sense mm-hmm. to you. Ultimately, it's not going to add up because it can't, all right, because he's God. But I believe that if, and remember, I know, if you just put your heart mm-hmm. on just thinking about the possibility of his steadfast love toward you personally, like right now, his love toward you. And if you keep coming back to that place, like, God, you loved me, you know, and you might be able to bring some things to mind where in the past where it made sense, but just him, okay, I'm going to say it will begin to change your life right where you're at today, because you'll understand, you start to tap into this love that's forever there.
Yeah.
That love will change your life. It will change who you are, how you operate. And I'm going to just tell you, the longer you meditate on his steadfast love, the harder it's going to be to revert back.
Going to be a lot harder. It's going to be a lot harder to reject people that don't measure up. It's going to be a lot harder to withhold forgiveness. It's going to be a lot harder to give up hope when you're like, God, he didn't give up on me.
Right? Yeah.
You know, like, he prayed for me when nobody else was. He went to the depths of the grave to bring me out. Like, there's no lengths he wouldn't go. That's that song, Relentless Love, or whatever. Right. It's like, he really did do that.
Yeah.
He really went to the darkest possible place to get me back. And this is the God we have to believe in. The Lord of steadfast love. Mm-hmm. One cool thing I've heard taught recently was this person said, there's no God hidden behind Christ and the Father. It's not like when you see this good Father, well, there's really a shadow side. There's really a shadow of turning. It's really actually like, you know, you got to do some stuff to be worthy of this. He just goes, and for anybody listening, the promise is just going out to you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
Yeah.
You believe that or not. But he gives the word, I will not leave you or forsake you.
Yeah.
He's not like, when you do this, I will not leave you or forsake you. Your belief is actually just a response that you go, you either believe it or you don't. You're like, I either trust him or I don't. It's not like, oh, let me do X, Y, Z. It's like, no, I just believe that. Mm. You've shown it through Christ. That's who it is. That's who I'm supposed to be. And that's where it gets hard. For me to actually do this.
It's hard, but not impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
What do you think that some of the disciples listening, they need to know just about this in their practical life? Do you guys have anything of like, how would somebody apply this? I mean, this is beautiful about God, but what are some other things maybe that you guys would think are important as we walk out steadfast love, steadfastness?
Well, I would say as a disciple, you need to begin to try. Let me just say try, because it's never... things aren't perfect, but try to show his steadfast love to others, just to express, to manifest his love, because that's why you're here on the earth,
right?
I mean, we have this tremendous, this way, steadfastness, but he expects it this way also. And I would say that just simply that. And it, you know, how would you like to be treated? If you want to get it just down to, you know, the bare bones, how would you want to be cared for or loved? And just do that.
Yeah.
Just start there. And it don't have an expectation it's going to be perfect in the beginning.
Yeah.
Good.
Just I love start. That.
Will you I close this out, Jeremiah?
Was sure.
Either an exhortation or a prayer or something like that.
Yeah, I'll pray, but I wanted to just give one. It's the go-to practical tip. You need to get into the word, but specifically look up the word steadfast and grab a hold of a couple of scriptures and read them and really thank the Lord for them, because he will explain who he is in it. You'll encounter his character. And as you do, then you hold on to that. And that right there is being steadfast, holding on to the word. So you have to go into the word to hold on to the word. And as you hold on to the word, that word will begin to change you and transform you. So, Father, we just thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you that you are faithful and remain faithful.
Thank you,
Lord. No matter what happens, God. We're so grateful for this, Lord. We are faithful at times and we are unfaithful at times, but you are always remaining in this place of faithfulness because it's who you are. We thank you that you are love. We thank you that you are faithful. And we thank you that your steadfast love endures forever. Forever. And so, Lord, we pray today, Lord, that you would reach out to us in your steadfast love and that we would reach back out to you and take a hold of your hand today, that we would take a hold of your garment today, that we would take a hold of your word today, Lord, all the ways that you extend yourself out to us, God, that we would take hold of any of them, one of them, that we would ultimately take hold of you, Lord, and we would hold on to you. We would fix ourselves, glue ourselves to you, God. Like Paul spoke of being a bondservant, I am bonded to Christ. I have bound myself to Christ. I'm tied to him no matter what. You are the anchor of our soul, Lord. Let us lean in, God. Lean into you as you lean into us, Father. And we know that you will meet us, that you will lead us, you will guide us. You will teach us how to do this towards others, towards your body. You'll teach us how to be your heart and your hands extended in the earth. Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you for the opportunity. Make us, cause us to be faithful to you, God. We thank you for your steadfast love today. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, abide in his love, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.